Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. What a great football weekend we had. What a great weekend. I mean, as long as you're not an SC fan, as long as you're not a Florida State fan, yikes. As long as you're not a Packers fan, a Browns fan, what a week, a Giants fan, what a weekend we have. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Dan Beyer in the updates and the games. Iowa Sam on the ones and twos, and it's a J-Stu production. Iowa Sam doing a little victory lap. My pick, which came out Thursday on the Cyhawk, was Moneyline take Iowa, not just the 4.5 points that Vegas was giving you. What a blowout that was in Ames. Maybe there'll be Brocktober. There's definitely not Brocktember. You got to know about Brock Purdy and getting pulled in order to get that joke. It was a pretty good one. We got a lot to get to. Keenan Allen of your 1-0 L.A. Chargers going to join us. It feels like forever ago that the Chargers actually started the season with a win. How big was it with the Washington football team? And oh, yeah, by the way, speaking of Washington football team, stop me if you've heard this before, but their starting quarterback is injured. Like, go back and look. Has there, over the last 3 years, has there been a team with more starting quarterback injuries? I mean, 2 years ago, the terrible injury to Alex Smith. And then Colt McCoy came in, and he broke a leg as his first game in as well. But Taylor Heineke kind of tries to save the day. And what's it say about Cam Newton? I'll tell you that upcoming. Check out the latest lines from World of Sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's start with the obvious one. Okay, for the record, I have always been and will always be an Aaron Rodgers fan. For the record, I understood why the Green Bay Packers selected Jordan Love 2 years ago in the NFL draft. You know, I didn't think Aaron Rodgers showed the slippage that many people thought they saw 2 years ago, but I understood based upon Jordan Love as a developmental prospect, based upon the fact that as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to get a top 10 pick, and his contract and the timing. The idea is you have somebody ready in case he ages or he leaves. Both are a possibility. Aaron Rodgers with a big to everybody last year, winning the MVP and playing unbelievable football. But you are who your best player is in sports. Ask yourself, right? Who is your best player? And then look at the team, and generally, they mirror one another. Not always, but usually. When you're a good team, especially, I mean, look at the idea of Tom Brady. And look, do I think Tom Brady has a good time in the offseason? Sure, he played golf with Aaron Rodgers, by the way. He got white boy wasted at the victory parade. He had knee surgery, so he probably couldn't get out in the practice field. But when Aaron Rodgers uttered the words, hey, man, I was 50-50 as far as if I wanted to retire. He had all of the ammo in his bag for what the Packers had done wrong and who they had done wrong. And I remain an Aaron Rodgers fan, and I know it's not all his fault. His offensive line, which was rebuilt, got destroyed yesterday afternoon. I think Sean Payton coached an absolute virtuoso. Right? They a lot of body blows. They ran the hell out of the football. The heat, the humidity of a team from the Midwest coming down and playing outside in Jacksonville. It was body blow after body blow after body blow in the first half. And then once you get behind, now you can pin your ears back and rush the passer. And that's exactly what they did. The Packers look collectively terrible. Terrible. You have a new defensive coordinator, you can't stop the run. Offensively, you have a new offensive line, they can't protect the passer. But you are who your best player is. And Aaron Rodgers looked, frankly, with his hair and with his play, like a guy who hiked Machu Picchu this summer, not like a guy who locked in on how do I win one more game and get back to a Super Bowl. It doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers didn't work hard. He's not in great physical condition. Although, we'll be honest, he did not move away from the pass rush the way that Aaron Rodgers used to. But between body language and just overall sense, and then, of course, though it wasn't truly an exclusive interview with Aaron Rodgers, the continual assertion of, hey, I really thought about retiring. How do you think that plays in the locker room? How do you think that looks towards your organization? Whether it's real or it's fake, I Cowherd pointed out Russell Wilson, right? Like, if you're under contract, you're going to play. You don't go, well, this is the last dance. This is the last time we're going to be together. I might call it a day or switch teams. When you lose in the NFC Championship game, the way in which they lost in the NFC Championship game, where the defense did its part in the second half and gave him multiple opportunities, the only thing your star of your organization, the face of your franchise, would say is, I cannot wait to get back out there because this year we're going to kick the door in. Bum Phillips style, right? NFC Championship game past 2 years. 2 years ago, blown out by San Francisco. Last year, come from behind, a chance to win the game. And that's what they do? Cowherd used my line. It's not really my line. It's a college basketball line, which is the sins of the summer are paid for in the winter. And while so many have been openly critical, how dare the Packers draft an heir apparent who's going to be ready, hopefully, by the time that Aaron Rodgers' contract becomes reasonable to get off the books. I don't even know if they know they're going to turn to Jordan Love. But how dare they do that? How dare they get a guy when, look at Aaron Rodgers. Did he look or feel like a guy who was all in? Did he look or feel like a guy who the body language is bad? I mean, I don't know what that throw was. They're down 17-3, and he just airmails one as if to say, F it. I don't like the call. Nobody's open. I'm throwing it deep. Get me the hell out of here. That's your franchise player? That's the guy who wants to dictate and determine who's on and not on his football team? I just, look, this is no different than Jalen Ramsey or Richard Sherman. You can, Russell Wilson, you can talk the talk. You got to walk the walk. This is Aaron Rodgers describing the loss.
This is a good kick in the you-know-where. Hopefully get us going in the right direction, going back home and playing division opponent next week.
This is Matt LaFleur, the head coach, on that butt-whooping.
Absolutely embarrassed us today and can't do that against a well-coached and quality football team. Our guys are going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror. It starts with myself. Obviously, didn't get these guys ready to play ball, and that's what happens when you go out there and play like that against a good football team.
They got their asses kicked. But to me, a guy who has been an ardent defender of Aaron Rodgers, a guy who checks every box of what a quarterback should be able to and can do if they have the talent set, if they have the mental capabilities, if they have the toughness, if they have the, what's that, Cam Newton, aura. He looked like a guy who spent the summer trying to figure out life and not trying to figure out the cover two. He looked like a guy who just got done hiking mountains in Malaysia or Indonesia or Machu Picchu or in Hawaii. 1 foot in the circle is not 2 feet in, and everyone knows what that looks like, and everyone on that roster gets it. Like, when it's bad, I'm out. Now, we have to have balance and perspective and understand The Bills looked like crap yesterday. Plenty of good football teams that didn't play well, that will play well eventually. And we've seen these uneven matchups in the first couple weeks of the season. But that was a yikes, an absolute yikes. All right, there's some news out of the Washington football team. What it means for Cam Newton, I'm going to tell you upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. That is, you know, Twitter can be an amazing place, really amazing place, where you learn something. People sliding in your DMs, like people from high school, like, wow, I had no idea. Very cool stuff. At Gottlieb Show is the Twitter handle. Okay, look, remember last week when I tried to paint a realistic picture for Cam Newton and what was really going on with Cam Newton? You guys remember that? Of course you do. Okay, so what happened with Washington over the weekend? I know they're reporting, hey, just precautionary measure for Ryan Fitzpatrick with a hip injury. Like, get out of here, precautionary measure. He's on the IR, right? He's on the IR. Dan Byer, how long is the IR? How long does that hold him out until? I know the preseason IR, it's like week six. What is in-season IR?
There are a bunch of different ways, but minimum of 3 weeks is what we could get for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, short-term IR.
Yeah. So, like, look, that's the minimum. But when do people know that he's 38 years old? Like, I know Ryan Fitzpatrick's been around a while. I would guess there's not a lot of people who actually know that he's 38 years old. He's been doing so. When an old quarterback suffers an apparent hip injury, that is a yikes, yikes. And of course, you have Mike Florio, who's like, this could be a spot for Cam Newton. And I told you guys this. Look, the way it works in the NFL is the way it works in your workplace, in my workplace. When you need somebody, you generally like somebody who you've worked with before. You know them, they know you. Doesn't mean they're perfect. But it does mean, it absolutely means, that you have a good working relationship and understand what everybody does and how they do it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So, quarterback goes down. Opportunity presents itself. What do you think happens? Right? So, the offensive coordinator of the Washington football team is Scott Turner. That name sounds familiar. His dad is Norv Turner. Right? Again, all of this, it's all kind of related, all related together. Right? The quarterback coach is Ken Zampezi. How does that name sound familiar? Like, what do you know about Ken Zampezi? Do you know his dad was a legendary coach, right? And Ken Zampezi has been in the league forever. Right? And he was in Cincinnati with Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton. He also was in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. Right, so guys bring in people when Zampezi's been in the league forever. Scott Turner's been in the league forever. And his dad, Norv Turner, also coached Cam, as did Scott, Cam's last year in Carolina. And then, of course, their head coaches, Ron Rivera, went to a Super Bowl. Who is the MVP of the league? Who is his quarterback? Cam Newton. Cam Newton can be had for nothing. Pennies on the dollar. Who's available? Well, they instead went with a practice team quarterback, right? And that practice team quarterback, ironically, or maybe not so ironically, right? Not so ironically, is they went and signed a quarterback with a historic name, right? That's what they did. They went and signed a practice team quarterback whose dad has been an offense coordinator. Kyle Shermer is their practice squad quarterback. Their starter is Taylor Heineke. Taylor Heinicke was in Carolina when Cam got hurt. Kyle Allen as their backup was Cam Newton's backup. The Carolina the Washington football team traded for Kyle Allen, signed Taylor Heinicke, and has passed five times over on a minimum contract for Cam Newton, who the head coach worked with and the offensive coordinator worked with. The head coach had him take him to a Super Bowl. The quarterback coach has been in the league forever. The offensive coordinator worked with him, and his dad worked with him as well. And they've said, we're good here. If there was a place for Cam Newton to play, that would be the one. And the fact that he's not being picked up is all you need to know about how the league, and especially how Ron Rivera views his former star quarterback. He just doesn't have it anymore. And the idea he doesn't want to be a backup. How do you think that goes over? It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so give me those baseball standings again there, Dan.
So the Blue Jays have vaulted into the wild card spot. So right now it's the Red Sox and Blue Jays tied for the American League, two wild card spots with the Yankees a game back.
Wow. It all started really last week when the Blue Jays had a four-game sweep over the Yankees. There are other things that happen. Now the Yankees, suddenly, they can't get anything going at all. Mm-hmm. As you point out, down 5-0. And just kind of crazy how this baseball thing, like I always operated on the assumption that baseball wanted that second wild card to make sure they had Yankees and Red Sox in the playoffs. And unfortunately, they were set to cannibalize each other mm-hmm. in the wild card. And now you might not even have one in.
Yeah, and thank goodness for the wild card, because most of the divisions are all wrapped up anyway. But, I mean, aside from the NL West, most of the – we know the White Sox are going to win the AL Central. Brewers are going to win the NL Central. I mean, we don't – we at least we'd have something to be excited about if it wasn't for the wild card.
Now, there are three coming up against Toronto. This is what the Yankees have left. They have today's against Minnesota. They got three against Baltimore, which you have to win all three. Baltimore's awful.
Yes.
Then they get Cleveland for three, then Texas for three. They finish up at Boston, who they're playing for their playoff lives, at Toronto, and then home to Tampa. Now Tampa is in the playoffs, but it will be interesting to see who pitches for the Rays in those last three games of the season and how much they use up the bullpen. Who do they rest? How do they do it? That's always fascinating to anybody who's paid attention. But the three against the Red Sox and three against the Blue Jays, six in a row on the road, could well decide who goes to the wild card from the American League. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, and yeah, the Mariners and A's just three games back. And then you look at the NL, which is a crazy race as well. Padres and Reds tied for the final wild card. There's only one wild card up for grabs there. But because you know that the Dodgers or Giants, whoever doesn't win the NL West, will get the first wild card. But yeah, this is down the home stretch. 20 to go in Major League Baseball for, around 20 to go. Some a little more, some a little less. But yeah, Yankees kind of had that great series.
15 in a row, right? They won 15 in a row? Was that what it ran to? That's what I remember as, or close to 15 in a row, didn't they?
Yeah.
In the middle of August?
Yeah, I can't remember. August is a blur to me now that football season's here. But yes. The fact is, yeah, you've got, you know, like Toronto and the Red Sox are tied right now, but Blue Jays have two more games to play than the Red Sox do, so they could take that top spot. No, it's going to be great down the stretch.
Going to be fantastic. Some wins are bigger than others. Some losses are bigger than others. Is that fair, Byer? Like, you know, we watched this for a while. I know we can't get carried away and go, hey, it's week one. Last year, week one, we had some wild ones. But it does feel like some are bigger than others. Do you ever look at things that way?
Yes, absolutely. And I look at week one like that in the National Football League.
I want to talk Chargers. We're going to have Keenan Allen in a second. But other wins you think that were, or losses that felt like more than the actual record.
I told you on Friday, and I got heckled on it on Twitter, because I said my lock was the Vikings minus -3 against the Bengals, and it might have been -3.5. And Minnesota lost that game. And yeah, it's just one game, and it's a nice win for the Bengals, and Ja'Marr Chase had a good game. But when you're playing the AFC North like Minnesota is, and you've got that Bengals game, week one on the road. That's a game you win because you don't know if you're going to beat Pittsburgh, don't know if you're going to beat Baltimore, don't know if you're going to beat Cleveland. Those are going to be tough games. That's the one game that you say, all right, we've got that in hand. We should be all right. And then they don't win it. And now you're looking at, not like it's murderer's row, Doug, but that's a game that you, even though it's week one, that you kind of want to have. And I think that's a bigger deal. And so I thought that the Vikings, who were my lock on Friday, their loss was a bigger deal than others.
I think that's absolutely fair. Absolutely fair. I do think Cincinnati's defense is dramatically improved, but you're right. That's a game they should have won. And look, I think most people, when you look at New England, they lost the game, but they lost it, I think, based upon a fumble. And if you watched how that team played, it felt like they're better than the final result, right?
Sure.
Like that was a loss that doesn't feel like it hurts you as much, even though it was a divisional loss to the Dolphins.
Well, I was going to say this is like you look back at last year and you say, oh, it's a long season. Week one doesn't matter. The only win the Jaguars had was week one against the Colts. And when you look back and see what the Colts did, we know they gave Buffalo a run for their money. But if the Colts win that game, they win the division. They get a home game for the wild card. They don't have to travel to Buffalo and just sneak into the playoffs. There are a lot of ramifications for games like that. And, yeah, you look at the Patriots and Dolphins game. For some reason, they seem to always play week one now. But I looked at it as the Patriots having an opportunity to win that sans the Damian Harris fumble was a win for the Patriots, a moral victory, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. For a team that doesn't really value moral victories, that was a good moral victory for them. Whereas the Bears felt like a demoralizing victory, demoralizing loss. And it's not I don't even think the Andy Dalton piece is the biggest issue, right? It's they're built based upon their defense. And I mean, they gave up two. I haven't seen two blown assignments like that in the same game. From a team that, remember, the Bears are a playoff team two of the past 3 years. Like this is, and they're built on their defense, and to have those sorts of missed assignments where Cooper Kupp, I mean, he could have crawled into the end zone. I felt like that was a little bit more demoralizing than just one loss.
It was, and the Dalton factor is completely separate. But yeah, we did think that it maybe the Bears defense would be better, or would continue that tradition of when Vic Fangio was there, you know, a few years back. And it was not last night. I know Chuck Pagano retired this past offseason, so you have changes there. But yeah, a surprise that the Bears, who you thought would hang their hat on defense, had those missed assignments, as you said.
Yep. I'll be interested. Cleveland played well enough to win, but you have a fumble, and then you have the punter drop the football on his first punt of the game. And then you have Baker, when he's down, trying to throw a ball out of bounds and looks like he gets hit from behind, but it did feel like Baker kind of being Baker, trying to do too much.
Yeah, I was mixed on how this game played out because this game was also on in the window that George Reister and I did our show yesterday, and the Browns were dominating the game. And you knew that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were going to come back, but when you lose the game like you did with the miscues that you had, yeah, you could have won it. And immediately afterwards, Doug, I thought, man, what a missed opportunity for Cleveland.
Yep. Totally. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. And then
exactly what I thought.
But then I took a step back and I said to myself, you know what? Maybe just in the long run. Like I woke up this morning and thought, if they meet again in the playoffs, at least you don't have the Browns went there, and what are the likelihood that they beat them twice in this season? Like, I'm not saying it's a moral victory because Cleveland has bigger aspirations, but to just know that they can play like they played, and even though they didn't get a win, I mean, tells me that Cleveland's going to be one of the top teams. But I thought, man, what an opportunity. And the muff punt was 10 times worse than Baker's interception.
Yes.
But what we're going to talk about and we're going to look at, as we always do, is Baker's interception.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, here's my thing on the muff punt. Okay. One, it just can't happen. I mean, it can't happen. It's Jamie Gillen, right? I mean, but like, look, Jamie, all due respect, if you're going to have hair like that, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Like the flow is, because you know what happens. You're like, dude, if you were not worrying about your flow instead of worrying about catching the football, none of this would happen.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I'm like, if you're going to have hair like that, you better catch a punt. You better. And
he's like a Steve Weatherford guy. Like he's like all ripped up and a model and poses and like, oh, that's great. Got to be able to at least catch the football.
There was a scenario in the Colts Seahawks game yesterday where Michael Dixon of Seattle kind of had that same opportunity, but still like ran to the side and got the punt off. I actually thought that he could have gotten the punt off. Because I didn't see a Chiefs defender. I think he panicked immediately. Yes. Like the worst thing that you can do is just, you know, I know you don't want it blocked and then picked up and ran in for a score. But I actually thought even though he muffed it, he still maybe could have got some sort of kickoff. Maybe in the end it wouldn't have mattered because it was Patrick Mahomes. But to set them up at the 14-yard line just completely changed everything. Took the entire air out of Cleveland.
Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, some of these losses, I felt like the Chargers win was a big one. Now, I know they won last year in Cincinnati, but if you remember the game in Cincinnati, Cincinnati marched down the football field and had, I think, a field goal. It was a penalty on a touchdown catch in the end zone. So they had to kick a field goal that I believe would have sent it to overtime. And they missed like a very easy field goal. The year before, they beat the Colts the first week of the season. You're like, well, that's the same thing. No, if you remember, that was the year that Andrew Luck retired during the last preseason game, and the Colts kind of had to scramble with Jacoby
Brissett,
as their starting quarterback, right? So all of these scenarios aren't the same. For me, the reason that it was so good, okay, for the Chargers and so big for the Chargers is that the way in which you win a football game, right? You get the ball with 6:43 to go. You're up 4 points. And I mean, outside of a championship drive, right, or a winning drive where you score a touchdown, you're down four and you score a touchdown and you leave no time on the clock. Outside of that, getting the ball on the road, 6:43 to go, and not letting the other team get it back, especially when, and I know that they're more pass rush, but that's a great front seven, especially front four for the Washington football team. They got the ball 6:43 to go and never gave it back. That's a huge win for them. Now they get the Cowboys, and it'll be a road game, even though at home with all the Cowboys fans in Los Angeles. That said, the Cowboys are all banged up, and the Chargers do not appear to be nearly as banged up. So I felt like that was a huge, let's ask Keenan Allen, of course, star wide receiver who had two big third down catches on that final drive. Keenan, to get the ball back with, I think, 6:43 to go.
Something like that.
Keenan, you with us? Keenan Allen joining us on the Doug Gottlieb show on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks, Keenan. So look, to get the ball back with six and change to go and to never give the football up, how much does that change how you, there's a lot of ways to win a game. Last year in Cincinnati, you needed a missed chippy field goal, but to never, it feels like a different kind of win for the Chargers. Am I crazy to think that way?
No, it feels good. Like you said, we finished the game with the ball in our hand. We didn't even have to kick a field goal to go up a touchdown. So that's always good. It felt dominant to do that. And, you know, we felt good about it.
Justin Herbert, year one to year two, obviously finding you twice, third down on that last drive. You guys have a great connection. How has he evolved from last year to this year?
More settled in, more confident, more composed. He's able to be resilient. You see him after the interception late. He's come back down and just keeps banging third downs after third down. He's a special man, a lot of talent. You know, he doesn't take it for granted. He shows up every day and he goes to work.
New coaching staff. What'd you learn about the coaching staff for having played? You played for a bunch of them in your time with the Chargers. What'd you learn about this coaching staff, having seen them week one on the road in a close game?
Yeah, well put together, well led, I would say. Kept the energy up for us all week, kept us healthy all week. Kept our bodies feeling good. I thought the game plan was amazing. You know, both sides of the ball, offense and defense, even special teams. So everything was good.
Keenan Allen joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Chargers 1-0, beat the Washington football team 20-16. Now home, SoFi. You played there for an exhibition. You played there last year, but you haven't played in front of a full house. I'm sure you watched at least a little bit of the Rams playing in front of a full house. What's the feeling like of actually having a brand new home stadium through all you guys have been through?
Yeah, man, it'll be fun. Can't wait for it. Can't wait for the fans. You know, and it'll be exciting.
Does it feel different, right? Because I'll tell you, when you watch the Chargers at home, for years it had been, okay, something's going to go wrong here. And obviously you go back 3 years ago and things went right. Is there a different feeling with this team?
Yeah, I think so. A little bit different culture, a little bit different led, and you know, we got different dogs at the start.
Yeah, it's very true. Keenan Allen's our guest here, Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. For you, now you're starting to get, and you've always gotten us a level of respect, but it feels like it's changed where I saw people talking about you as the best route runner in football. And anybody who follows the Chargers knows how you've been valued within that organization. But what's that like for you to get the national recognition, even though you've been putting in work for years?
That's cool, man. I think it's always good to be respected by your peers and other people, you know, that recognize talent and hard work, stuff like that. So that's cool.
Big Rashawn, little different when you got Big Rashawn Slater at left tackle, right? Like, holy cow, he was crushing dudes yesterday against a good defensive line.
Yeah, he showed out, man. He showed that he was worth every penny that he got and more.
Yeah, listen, Keenan, thanks for joining us. Congrats on the win. We appreciate it. We'll see you in SoFi this weekend.
All right, now appreciate it.
How significant was the Steelers' win over Buffalo? Find out next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I don't think Keenan Allen was short with his answers. I think he was concise. Economy of words. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. The signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't paid for by NHTSA. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Bye, what do you got, bud?
Doug, we are looking at a game today called
Big Deal, Little Deal, No
All
Deal.
All right, just before we get to the game, just some more injury news popping up in the NFL. Niners running back Raheem Mostert going to be on IR for a while. Could be 2 months because of torn cartilage in his knee. And Niners corner Jason Verrett done for the season with a torn ACL. Kyle Shanahan speaking with the media. So that's what's gone down in the last 15 minutes or so. All right, Doug, let's get to it. Big deal, little deal, or no deal. That Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield threw an interception at midfield to effectively end Sunday's game in Kansas City.
I think it's a little deal. You know, I mean, there are times in which Baker, he tries to do too much. I don't think Romo was sticking up for him. I just think it was pretty obvious. He was getting hit as he's going down, and you would think he was trying to throw it away. And it's a, you know, that's tough. When you're on the road in Kansas City, you just can't get behind. And he didn't fumble twice to get Kansas City back in the game, right? That wasn't on him. And, you know, they got a little lucky. Kansas City got a little lucky with Mahomes just throwing it up and Tyreek Hill adjusting to a ball that was massively underthrown. But he is the quarterback. They did have the lead. They outplayed Kansas City for three quarters of the game, and they had the ball with a chance to win it, and he couldn't do it. He threw an interception, so it is on him. Not a no deal, but a little deal.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal that Carson Wentz threw for 251 yards and two touchdowns and no interceptions in a loss to the Seahawks.
It's a little deal. It's a baby step, right? No interceptions, seemed a little bit comfortable, but, I mean, they weren't able to generate much offense against the Seahawks, and, you know, the two issues with the Seahawks have been defense and offensive line, and I don't think anybody thought they were the defense would play that well week one of the season.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal that NBC showed a woman that was not Matthew Stafford's wife and claims she was his wife, only to have to make the correction later in the broadcast.
Did you see what Stafford's wife posted on Instagram
today?
No,
I didn't.
A picture with the woman.
No.
What said wife one and wife two. Fantastic.
It reminds me of the King of Queens episode where Doug had a upstairs wife and downstairs wife. It was, Doug got everything he wanted. Carrie was upstairs as his real wife, and Holly was downstairs making him baked goods and everything he could ask for.
Spicy.
Big deal, yeah. Little deal, or no?
I'm not sure two wives is actually nearly as good as it sounds. It actually feels... Never.
Hey, worked for Doug Heffernan for a while until he, you know, got greedy and went to a Rena wife who gave him great tickets to sporting events. Big deal, little deal, or no deal that Pittsburgh went to Buffalo and took out the Bills in week one.
I feel like that's a big win for Pittsburgh, you know? I mean, this is a team that last year got off to a hot start, but nobody bought in because of the quality of competition they're playing. Buffalo's a team that people think can make a Super Bowl. And, you know, Pittsburgh was, I felt like, outstanding on the defensive side of the ball against a really good offense. So, and Big Ben was fine, you know, not great, not terrible. Najee Harris couldn't really get it going. So the rushing attack isn't fixed, and Big Ben wasn't great, but the defense was outstanding. That won him the game.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that the last quarterback that was the first overall pick and won their first game in week one of the regular season was David Carr of the Texans in 2002. I need to give credit to Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network, who had this stat earlier today. But is that a big deal, a little deal, or no deal that quarterbacks who were the first overall picks haven't won their first game in almost 20 years?
I mean, let's just take even, not this year, but the previous year, Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Burrow actually led Cincinnati down the field against the Chargers, threw a touchdown pass, was called P.I., and then they kicked a field goal that was like a 23-yarder that they missed. So I feel like it's almost like a statistical anomaly. Most times, you're the number one pick, you're on a terrible team, right?
Yep.
And they start you a little bit too early, but oftentimes, you know, the loss isn't solely pinned on you.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that Oklahoma is ranked third in this week's AP Top 25 poll, higher than Oregon and Iowa, who are ranked fourth and fifth, respectively.
I mean, it's comically... I mean, it's one of those because you're in the preseason where you're ranked. Didn't play well 2 weeks ago, played well this past weekend. But we have no sense of how good they are at the top, as opposed to Oregon, who had a decent win over Fresno State, right, 2 weeks ago. And then, I mean, really, line of scrimmage, they dominate Ohio State. I don't know how anybody could rightfully rank Oklahoma based upon perception when the reality is Oregon's done more work so far this season.
I think we all understood Georgia moving up to number two after their win against Clemson. Maybe Oregon and Iowa should have been given that same respect. Big deal, little deal, or no deal that Giancarlo Stanton and the Yankees got heated with Francisco Lindor and the Mets last night at Citi Field. On a week one of the NFL season, it was a great atmosphere in baseball. I don't know. It apparently hasn't fueled the Yankees today as they continue to trail the Twins 5-0.
No, it feels like that loss yesterday affects them today, right? Like, it's huge. It was a crazy sports weekend, if you think about it, in New York, right? You had the U.S. Open. The women won by a qualifier, 18-year-old qualifier. The men's U.S. Open, where Djokovic gets upset by Medvedev in the final. Then you have Yankees... and Mets. Yep. And the anniversary of 9/11. And then, of course, you got the Giants playing at home and of course, losing. Stop if you've heard this before, but Daniel Jones fumbling. Right? Big, big, big weekend. I think that's a big deal.
That's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
I mean, do people understand that she won as a qualifier? So you had to win three matches to get in and then won seven matches and didn't lose a set.